This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome inside the VSiN studios here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. This is the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, also alongside our buddy Jared Smith, betting analyst here at VSiN, in for Michael Lombardi. Michael will be coming back a little bit later on this week here. But Jared, how are we doing today, man? It's 2 weeks until Selection Sunday. The madness is on the horizon.
First of all, early for me here. This is
good morning to you, buddy.
Yes, good morning. And for those familiar, of course, with our programming on the weekends, I almost slept. I was close to just bringing a sleeping bag underneath the table here and just waking up with you guys this morning.
An air mattress in there somewhere.
Well, you know? I'm surprised that, frankly, no one's done that, considering how hard we work here at this fine network. But it is a very, spring has sprung in terms of the college basketball world. And we were just trying to figure out before the show started what was the most enticing game today or the biggest game. And I think we landed on Ohio State, but not on the men's side. On the women's side today. So, yeah, college basketball, obviously the Saturday slate on the men's side is robust. Yesterday was awesome. Today, a little thinner. I'm starting to catch up now on a lot of combine stuff, right? We're starting to see a lot of the dust settle. So we're getting a lot of these beat reporters put out some really, longer pieces with more details, a lot more, because it takes time. You go do interviews for 2 weeks or a week straight. You've got to compile it all. And, you know, it's not as much breaking news. The breaking news stuff we know, the 40 times and all the, combine stuff. But, you know, some of the behind the scenes chatter that takes some time to develop. I'm interested in reading a lot of the beat reporters over the next week or so as they kind of formulate their thought processes. And then we're what, a month, 6 weeks from the draft? I mean, it'll come very soon, and we'll get March Madness, the draft, and then those two things will just kind of carry us for the next 8 weeks.
I mean, we get NFL free agency. I believe legal tampering starts on the 11th.
Legal. I love that phrase.
The legal tampering period. And then the new league year will begin on March 13th. So, yeah, we're about 8 days away from guys starting to agree to those deals, changing teams. We know that can sometimes shift the futures market. Maybe shifts it a little bit too much. You can potentially find a little bit of value there in the futures market. But we do have a fun show on deck for you guys over these couple of hours here, starting in 45 minutes. Our buddy Will Hill, VSiN contributor, host of the Should Have Bet More podcast, also contributes to the Bear Bets podcast over there at Fox. He'll join us. Will always is spraying the board. He'll have some college hoops plays. Maybe he'll have some NBA. We'll ask Will a plethora of betting topics coming up in 45 minutes. Then in hour number two, to help us close out the show at 11:45 Eastern, 8:45 Pacific, our buddy Jonathan Von Tobel, VSiN senior NBA analyst. He will join us in studio to talk all things association. Wow. Great card for the NBA. We have the afternoon game, Warriors at Celtics in the rematch of the finals from a few years ago.
Oh, wow. That might be the game of the day.
That is a banger. I will be watching that one there. Celtics, they've won 10 straight. Can they keep it going against the Golden State Warriors? You know, Steph Curry, whenever the stage is at its biggest and brightest, that's when he plays his best. So that'll be a fun atmosphere out there in the Garden later this afternoon.
Yeah, the NBA is kind of like the lost brother for me when I get to this stage. I need time to catch up because I have not, and that's why I like when I get to chat with JVT in person. But that Celtics team is absolutely stacked. I'm not going to make a claim that I've watched them a whole lot this year, but based off of everything I've read and all the numbers I look at, they're going to be a tough out, I think, in the East. But I don't know if the number really reflects any value. I would guess no at this stage. But I guess that's why JVT is the expert in that regard.
Yeah, they're like around like plus 230, plus 220 to win the NBA title. And this is a team that hasn't quite been able to do it. They've kind of shot themselves in the foot in the postseason as they did last year, coming back from the 0-3 deficit. Then they get the Game 7 at home. And then they lose the game to the Miami Heat. So it's been kind of a rocky postseason for these Boston Celtics. We'll see if they can get a demo as JVT about them coming up to end the show in hour number two. But let's start with college hoops and what we saw yesterday. A big card in college hoops, of course, since it's the penultimate regular season weekend here in the sport. And I want to start with the game in the SEC, Tennessee at Bama. The betting market seemed to like Alabama quite a bit here in this spot. At home, we know the Crimson Tide play really well. They're at home. They get their shooting, running in, gunning and all that stuff, how they play. But Rick Barnes and Tennessee go into Tuscaloosa, get an 81-74 victory. They cover, obviously, and win outright as a 4.5-point dog. Game goes under the total. And this Tennessee team, I feel like on paper, if you remove the coach's name, if you remove the school name, I think a lot of people will be like, hey, I'm into that. But it does come with the caveat of it being Tennessee and it being Rick Barnes. Does this result kind of, I guess, alleviate some of those concerns from prior marches?
No. And that's because I don't trust Bama as much either. Yeah. I think, and when I was looking at some of the stuff last night about this game, and you look at Alabama's offense, Tennessee was able to hold them to their fewest possessions in like almost 2 months. 6 weeks since the Georgia game back on January 31st, 71 possessions there for Alabama in that game, only 73 yesterday against Tennessee. So that's what Tennessee does, right? Like they're, I know that they've got some good scores. Connect is a freaking rock star.
Oh yeah.
But they're a defensive minded team. And in March, those teams tend to have an edge. Like if you were going to ask me, and we were joking about the Patriots quarterback situation at the top, they're okay with any of the three quarterbacks. If you were going to ask me, would you rather have an offense or a defensive team in March? I do have a preference. It's defense. And that's what the Vols do. The Rick Barnes stuff, I don't know. I mean, it could be just bad luck. It could be weirdness, variance. I think there's something there because it's been so consistent with him failing in these high pressure spots, but man, they're talented this year. I think they're more talented this year than they were last year. And they beat Duke in the, you know, they had a nice run last year when I didn't think they had as much talent as they have this year. So the hot take I have is that either Painter or Barnes, one of them is going to get the monkey off their back this year. I don't know which one, but maybe I'll take the field against it. Maybe that Painter and Barnes, one of those coaches get to the Final Four this year. I don't know which I think one of them will.
And Barnes has been to a Final Four, but we still don't even trust him. Like he's been to
that's
one.
That's the irony.
And we don't trust him. I mean,
but with Texas though, right? Not with Texas. Tennessee.
Yeah, it was with Texas. I mean, the guy got bounced out in the second round with Kevin Durant on his team. Like when you can do that, like there's going to be questions about what you're going to be as a coach come March. You mentioned Painter, Purdue. They got the victory against Michigan State last night. Over got home for me, thankfully, over 144.5. Painter, though, has never been to a Final Four, and they've been knocking on the door at Purdue for quite some time to get there. This, obviously, their best team was Zach Edey. He's going to win the Wooden Award, National Player of the Year once again, back-to-back years,
like,
by far.
He's won it, I think, since basically New Year's. He had
pretty much,
locked up.
It's been wrapped up. Throw the key out. It's a lock. It's over. But do you think that this Purdue team and what you see in conference play in the Big Ten, it's been down. Not too many people are enthusiastic about how they're playing basketball. Can this be the year for Purdue? Like they're being priced like they're one of the co-favorites to win the national title. They're right behind UConn there.
I'm okay with that price. I don't know if they have the guard play on the outside to defend as much as I would like. Because, right, if you talk about Tennessee, they're much more defensively based. Purdue's kind of on the opposite side. They're much more offensively based. I think they have three guys that can shoot it. And that helps. I think they're a little bit better on the outside than they were last year. But last year was one of the biggest upsets in the history of college basketball. Mm-hmm. So you want to talk about brass tacks, X's and O's. I think they have maybe one. They need one like role player to get really hot on the outside. But they also have the great equalizer in Zach Edey. And I think that makes them a very interesting team. He looks a lot better this year. He looks more athletic. He looks thinner. He looks fit. He looks like his footwork is better. He looks like an NBA player.
He's a little more fluid.
He looks less stiff is the word I always use when I watched him. And it's not just him. You watch these. For example, Yale's got one that I watch all the time. His name is Wolf. He's a 7-footer. And in the Ivy League, there aren't a lot of 7-footers. But when you watch him play, he would get chewed up in the SEC or the Big 12 because he's just stiff. He's just a big mass of human, and he doesn't have the footwork and the flexibility and the agility that Zach Edey's starting to develop. And I think that makes him very dangerous. Now we go into the karma of it. The last time a 16 seed beat a one, Virginia.
Trend.
Yeah, that's the narrative streak karma, you know, Taylor Swift Eras Tour kind of vibe where, yeah, it's the destiny of Purdue to make it to the Final Four, win the national title after what happened to Virginia and UMBC a few years ago. So I think they're the number two team, slightly ahead of Houston, but I think Houston's right there. I honestly think you could make a case for either of those teams to make the Final Four and win the national championship.
Yeah, Houston winning a wild one in Norman last night. Yes. They're 87-85. Jamal Shedd with the game-winning bucket with 0.1 seconds to play, or 0.4 actually, to play in Norman. So Houston,
fun game.
Really fun game. I bet the over in the game, so I was like, this is a lot of fun.
Well, you almost had it at halftime.
Exactly.
What, 90 points in the first half, a total of 128?
128 is what that's the end of closing. I bet over 129, so the market bounced back in my face. But ha, how about that market?
Yeah.
87-85.
Sharps been wrong a lot in College Hoop this year, just like Gonzaga last night.
Hey, it was a good day for me in College Hoops. Nice. And it was the first day I really kind of fully invested in it, because I'll be honest, as I'm always honest with the audience, I'm more so in the scavenger hunt of NBA awards and all that stuff. Sure. But I was like, you know what? It's a Saturday.
I'm kind of the opposite. Like, I kind of let the NBA, exactly. I let you guys do NBA. I wait for the playoffs and I focus on College Hoops. Yeah. You have to know your strengths and weaknesses. You have to know what you...
The biggest thing as a better.
Absolutely.
It's the biggest thing. Before I had to break here, Kentucky, 111-102 against Arkansas. They go ahead and win. They don't cover the big number. They were laying 12.5. Their game, of course, is a Kentucky game. Flew over the total of 164.5. Is this defense good enough to make a run in March? Because they're 98th in adjusted defensive efficiency on KenPom. I'm a little worried about them on that end of the floor.
Very Jekyll and Hyde. They need that big, the Zvadislav guy. They need him to play like Edie. And I don't know if he has that in him, because he's young and he's a lot more raw, but they have the talent to do it. I just don't know if they have the consistency. For example, that's what I struggle with Houston, but they proved last night they can win a high scoring game. Yeah. I don't know if Kentucky can win a 65-60 grinder. Like, they need the game to be in the 80s, I think, to be successful. So I think that's where I like with teams in March that are successful, they know how to win in multiple ways.
Yeah, at some point you'll have to if you're going to win six of those games. It's like there's going to be a game where the shots aren't falling. There's going to be a game where the other team is red hot. You're going to have to be able to pull out some of those victories. And Kentucky, on that end of the floor defensively, it's a little bit shaky. But we'll continue our college hoops talk all throughout the show. But coming up next, we go to the combine and discuss what we saw yesterday in Indianapolis.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you haven't already, make sure you check out Steve Mackinnon's mid-major conference tournament betting trends article over on the new and revamped vsin.com. It's everything you need to know. Champ week for the mid-majors is this upcoming week here. So go ahead and start doing the homework now so you can be profitable at the window. Check it out, vsin.com today. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe alongside Jared Smith filling in for Michael Lombardi on this Sunday fun day, two Sundays away from Selection Sunday in the NCAA tournament. But we'll get into all that college hoop stuff a little bit later on. But let's discuss the NFL Combine. And I think the biggest thing for me from the Combine this week was obviously what's going to happen with the Chicago Bears, who hold the number one overall pick. Now, Caleb Williams, who is the presumptive number one overall pick. If you look at the draft board and the draft betting markets, he's minus 1,100 to be first overall, which is, pretty penny to pay. But hey, maybe it's correct with Caleb Williams. He said earlier this week, because there was rumors out there that he might not want to go to the Chicago Bears. He's from the D.C. area. He might want to play for the Washington Commanders. But Caleb Williams said, quote, "If I get drafted by the Bears, I'll be excited. If they trade the pick and I get drafted by someone else, I'm just as excited." He said that to ESPN's Pete Thamel earlier this week at the Combine. So it feels like there's so many stories about Caleb Williams that at the end of the day, it's much to do about nothing. And it once again goes down to the football evaluation of what the Bears might do, or maybe another team might do with the first overall pick.
Yeah, I think it pretty cut and dry to me. A couple of the people that I talked to that I trust, they all kind of said that this is a very easy decision. It's kind of like that, you know, the commercial with choosing Charles Barkley first in the pickup game of basketball, right? With the kids against them. And I'm not, you know, saying that Caleb Williams is going to have a significantly better career than any of the other quarterbacks in this class. I think that is the part that we cannot predict. Mm-hmm. But it is obvious to me that this decision is easy. Now, will the Bears be the team that drafts him? That is where there might be a little bit more indecision. But I still think if it's like Caleb Williams is like 99.9% to be drafted first overall, the Bears drafting him first is probably like 99.8%. Like it's there's still like some alternate MCU universe out there where some team is in love with Caleb Williams, and they make the Bears an offer they can't refuse. And we've seen it before, right? That was like the Ricky Williams draft.
Yeah.
Like there's been in now, I know it was a long time ago, and I know it was a running back in a completely different world in the NFL.
Imagine if that happened today.
It would never happen today. But my point being, there are some GMs out there sometimes that get a little trigger happy. And that's the outlier scenario that we just cannot account for. The easy money here is he's the best quarterback in the class. He was the best quarterback in the class last year. I think we give him a little bit of a pass for some of the USC transgressions defensively. I'm not going to go nuts with the emotional stuff because I don't have a chance to talk to the kid and get the vibe from him. So I can't judge it. And I say this to all the betting analysts and all the people that want to do what we're doing here. Don't analyze the player. Analyze the team's analysis of the player. How you feel about Caleb Williams is relevant. What do the Bears think? And everything we hear is they love him and he's a perfect fit. And I think it's a good spot for him to be as long as he can handle the weather. That's the only thing I'm unsure of right now, because there's been some stuff with quarterbacks over the years that have played in those southern climates that have struggled in the cold. But Aaron Rodgers is a California guy that's won in Green Bay. So if he can handle the weather and he can handle some of that Chicago climate and the culture, I think he'll be fine.
Yeah, he's from D.C. too. He's handled the cold in the past before. You mentioned the Bears, though. Their general manager, Ryan Poles, he met with the media earlier this week as well, because the Bears, what's hanging up for them, and maybe it's not a hang up, it's more so just a process of order here, is that they still have quarterback Justin Fields on the roster. And the anticipation from a lot of folks is that they will trade Justin Fields at some point. Poles was asked about that earlier this week. Here's what he had to say.
When do you want to know what you're going to do?
Tomorrow.
No, in all seriousness, though, before free agency?
I would love to know as soon as possible. Again, it just depends on what opportunities pop up. I will say this. I think you guys know me well enough now. I do, if we go down that road, I want to do right by Justin as well. No one wants to live in gray. I know that's uncomfortable. I wouldn't want to be in that situation either. So we'll gather the information. We'll move as quickly as possible. We're not going to be in a rush and see what presents itself and what's best for the organization.
So he was obviously saying that he would like to give Justin the clarity and like to give the franchise, the organization, the clarity as well. Justin Fields was the quarterback under Ryan Poles for 2 years there when Poles was there. Fields obviously was drafted by a previous regime, Ryan Pace and the Matt Nagy regime there in Chicago. But it's interesting because I think a lot of this comes down to being a financial decision, obviously a football decision as well. But the financials is really what people point to when they say you got to trade Justin Fields because you're going to reset the clock for the quarterback position. Like Fields, they have to make a decision on him. Whichever team has his rights on May 2nd has to make the decision on the fifth year option. And if you're Chicago and you're going down the Caleb Williams route, or you're going down the Drake May route if they fall in love with him, or Jaden Daniels or J.J. McCarthy or whoever, I want to focus on Williams. Is Williams, do you think, more football, just watching side of it, is he the generational prospect that people talk about when you actually watch him play?
I think he has the tools to be that guy. I don't know how he's going to handle the transition. And we thought Bryce Young had the tools too. And there was not a doubt, with the exception of like a little 24-hour stretch on Reddit, that Bryce Young was not going to be the number one pick in the draft. Like at this time forward.
Yeah.
Like they're just... And there was no doubt. Like the only doubts was about his physical size, which ironically is the most quantifiable of all of the quarterback tools. That is not a problem with Caleb Williams, obviously. And I just, it's really hard to grade the emotional and the spiritual transition of going to the NFL. Like it is a life change, and some kids handle it differently. Some kids don't put in as much work, or they put in too much work and they get burned out. And I think we don't know what his vibe is going to be until we kind of see him on the team, going through workouts, going through the motions, preseason. So, yeah, I think he's going to be a bust? No, I think he has all the physical tools to be really good. But I think it's impossible for us, especially when we don't get a chance to talk to him or meet him, to get a vibe for the psychological part of the game, because that is the question with him. It was all psychological last year. He's crying in the stands. He's dealing with the team losing. How do you overcome those obstacles? He didn't handle it well last year. That doesn't mean he's not going to handle it well in the future when he's maybe in a better environment. But right now, the recency bias, I think, is on the other side of the argument.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. Like, you hear people say generational and all that stuff, and I always, I'm like, I cringe. I cringe when I hear that stuff. Because
you're a generational sports betting talent, so, you know, you got a lot to live up to.
Generational. Yeah. It's like, what are we talking about here? Because, like, we did this whole thing with Trevor Lawrence, and, I mean, look where we are right now with the Jacksonville Jaguars, where Lawrence, I think most people would say, pretty good quarterback.
Sure.
But is he the generational guy that people talk
about?
There's
only one generational talent in the NFL. His name's Patrick Mahomes.
Exactly.
There are like, so
there's not multiple generational players.
To put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby, you want to make Patrick Mahomes like this, like you spread him out and, oh, Caleb Williams is the Patrick Mahomes of this generation. Like, I don't want to make that. I don't want to put him in that box. I think Caleb Williams needs to be a guy that takes the Bears. Let's just assume that Chicago drafts him. Takes the Bears from point A to point B, right? Cross the river of sticks and get them to the playoffs. That's difficult. Mm. That's generational for a lot of Chicago fans.
Yeah.
When was the last time the Bears been to the playoffs? Like, I think there's a lot of talk in this time, to fill the airwaves of what these kids are going to be. We have no idea what they're going to be.
Exactly.
Like, I think the idea of handicapping the team's assessment of them is really the best thing for us to do on this side.
100%. Because, I mean, your favorite draft analyst out there was raving about Zach Wilson. And now Zach Wilson has been given permission to seek a trade by the New York Jets like 3 years after he was drafted second overall. And that just goes to show you how much of a crapshoot this whole thing is with the NFL draft.
I hate that Zach Wilson pick. I really did. As a Jets fan, I can say I absolutely hate it.
Well, we were talking before the show started with our producer, Elliot, about like, hey, like, think about all the stuff that was said about C.J. Stroud this time last year, to where it's like, ah, the Texans don't really like C.J. Stroud. All these teams are, Stroud's visits aren't going that well. Oh, by the way, he just put together, like, I don't know, the best rookie season ever. Offensive rookie of the year, and he looks like he's the future of the NFL.
And I don't know if there's a situation in this draft where that will happen, because I think, like, I don't see that happening in Chicago. Like, I just don't know if they're going to win the division next year. Like, I don't necessarily.
They have a lot of cap space and a lot of draft picks.
Yeah, like, you're talking about a team that drafted second and third last year, a team that I think their win total was like six.
Yeah, Houston. Houston. Yep,
six and a half.
Yep.
That won the division, like that completely over, with a rookie quarterback and a rookie head coach. Like, is there even a situation in the NFL this year that will have a rookie quarterback? I mean, it'll probably be Washington, because you know, Chicago won't have a rookie head coach, but it's just, I don't know if there is. I mean, I remember last year in the offseason of college football, we were all trying to pick, all right, who's this year's TCU, right?
Yeah.
Who's the 100-1 that makes the champion? There wasn't one. Right. Like, no. it was Georgia and Alabama. And right. Like, it's just it's hard sometimes. Yeah, to
people even
like
Washington preseason, too. So it wasn't like they were like a big surprise either. Like, it's like, oh, where'd Washington come from?
Washington was,
like,
no, was kind of the outlier. Yeah. But still, they were picked pretty high.
They were picked pretty high to go ahead and have a pretty good season. We'll continue the combine discussion on the other side with the fastest man in the NFL, and then also get to some college hoops and NBA futures next here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Put the VSiN experts to work for you and start betting smarter with a VSiN Pro subscription. Sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription today and get your first year for only $199 instead of the typical price of $240. Just use promo code Lombardi. You'll be able to see all the daily best bets leaderboards. You'll get the systems, the premium analysis, the 24/7 video access, but more importantly, our upcoming March Madness betting guide with best bets for every game and round of the tournament. Remember, promo code Lombardi, first year, $199, VSiN.com/subscribe. This is the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network. He's Jared Smith. I'm Femi Abebefe, hanging out with you guys here on this Sunday morning. 15 minutes from now, our first guest, our buddy Will Hill, VSiN contributor, host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast, also contributes to the Bear Bets podcast over at Fox Sports. He'll be joining us to think about some of his plays on today's card, college hoops, NBA, or otherwise. But as we continue this discussion about the combine, yesterday, wide receiver from Texas, Xavier Worthy. We were not worthy of what we saw at the combine. I had to make the joke. I'm sorry.
No,
I apologize.
That was good. I hadn't heard that one yet. I honestly hadn't.
He runs a combine record official 4-2-1 40-yard dash. The previous record was 4-2-2 set by John Ross, who did it about a decade ago. But, I mean, just an unbelievable 40 time. And you start to wonder, a guy who was pretty well-hyped at Texas, you know, he's a good receiver for the University of Texas. You run this, do you start skyrocketing up some of those draft boards? Because that is truly rare speed.
Yeah, how did John Ross's career work out?
made a lot of money.
I think it's kind of like, are you a big fan of the Westminster Dog Show?
I can't say I watch a lot, but I know what it is.
So the toy group, you know, when they bring out the toy group, like the poodles and like the miniature schnauzers, and they've got like the cool hair and everything. That's kind of how I view this. Like, you're never going to win the full dogs. Like, those dogs never win the best in show. They are attractions. They're sideshows. They're very entertaining and they're adorable. They're cute. They're fuzzy, but they're not the best in show. And I think that's how I view this. Speed kills. Listen, the NFL is all about speed, but you put the pads on and you start running adjacent, parallel, you know, quick twitch. You don't see, like, how often does a straight 40-yard dash actually come into play in the NFL? Maybe once or twice a game on a long play, right? Usually the longest play for a game is in the 30-yard stretch. That's where the number's kind of set. So over, under, right, 40-yard would be slightly over that. So it's just, it doesn't factor into the football sense as much. Does that mean Xavier Worthy can't have a successful career? No, he can, but he has to be good in other areas. Route running, toughness, obviously your physical prowess. You know, are you able to hold up in coverage with guys that are now a lot more physical and bigger and at the cornerback position than they were 5-10 years ago? So I just think those are questions that I want to answer. Also, in addition to, just to me, I didn't love what he did last year when it came to his those other things. So I speed's great, but he needs to be a polished receiver. And unless he is, the speed stuff is the toy group.
Yeah. I mean, the speed stuff will just get everyone's attention.
Yeah, then of course. He'll be on a roster somewhere.
Oh, 100%.
He'll get 100%. He'll get opportunities.
Someone's given 4-2-1.
Yeah. Someone's giving that man a chance. 100%.
But DK actually had it posted on for the 40-yard dash record to be broken plus 425 earlier in the week. So go ahead and cash those. I have no idea how you price those. I guess it's you're diving deep into what people say about this crop of wide receivers and corners and all of that stuff. But yeah, I don't know how you price that. But whoever priced it, they take it cash.
Whoever priced it at DK, who is probably a little upset that they didn't make it a little shorter.
Here's plus 150 for now.
Odds on for Xavier Worthy to break the record.
X going to give it to you. He's giving you plus 425 cashing out the window there. So Xavier Worthy, the 4-2-140, biggest story from the combine yesterday. I want to pivot, though, back to college hoops and the NBA, particularly college hoops, though, because I was going to ask you this question right before the show started, but I wanted to hold it to the program because I think it's an interesting question. If you were given, so right now at Bracket Matrix, the projected number one seed. It compiles it. For those who don't know, it compiles all the bracketology analysts and puts it into one like big thing and gets you like a composite rating about what the most likely seeds would be. At Bracket Matrix, the number one seeds are as follows: Purdue, Connecticut, Houston, and Arizona. We'll work from those number one seeds. If I gave you all four of those teams versus the field in this NCAA tournament, would you take the one seeds to win the title or would you take the field?
Well, most of the time, like, we always view March Madness as madness, but most of the times the winners are the one or the twos. Like, it's just it's hard. Once you get to the Final Four, that tends to be where the Cinderellas die. And I think I would take the top four seeds here. I do think, frankly, I'll do you one better. I'll give you the top three. Give me the top three. Purdue, UConn, Houston, and you can have the field. And I feel like I should be the odds on there.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to argue. My argument would be I would put Arizona in there and I'd take Purdue out.
Okay.
And I would say give me UConn, Houston, Arizona.
I think Arizona is the West Coast version of Purdue. They're very similar, right? I think Arizona is a little more explosive. I think
our producer Elliot, who's a Purdue guy, says Purdue beat Arizona. Why are you taking my Boilermakers out? It's March. I don't know what to tell you, man. It's March. It's painter. It's like oil and water. You know, it doesn't really go together.
See, but the thing about Arizona that scares me is they don't have a rim protector. Like, they don't have an Edie. I mean, I guess they do have guys that can protect.
They're big.
I don't know. Arizona's tough. They deserve a one seed. And we were listening to Lenardi before, and it makes sense to put them out in the West bracket, out in that one seed. And they like the committee does like to do that regionally, even though I think Tennessee might be a little better. They're going to give Arizona that one seed probably, especially if they win the Pac-12 tournament.
Yeah, I just find it so fascinating that both of us are like, yeah, I take the one seeds over the field. Does that just say that the field is weaker this year, or do you think that these one seeds are actually like legitimate, good, like national UConn's title really winning good. Kind of teams?
UConn's
it's just the UConn so attraction, then you get three other teams to go with
UConn's so freaking good. And
but it's hard to repeat. I mean, yes, it hasn't been done since Florida and the Noah Horford Brewer team.
And I think this UConn is it fair to say? I think this UConn team might be better than last.
And they're better.
Like, and that, but again, that doesn't mean they're going to win, because fluky things happen in this tournament.
Six landmines.
And that is why the tournament is so special. That's what makes it so captivating for us as an audience. But I think when I watch this UConn team, they're better offensive. Like, that was, to me, the knock last year was I didn't know if they were consistent enough to put together six games on offense. But like defensively, I know they were fine. And I know that their coach was, you know, a fiery guy that was going to make the right adjustments. But yeah, I think UConn might be better than this year than last year. I think Purdue's better this year than last year. I think Edie's better. Right. Like, I think the top teams are a little bit better this year.
Is Houston better this year than they were last year?
Absolutely. So? Because obviously you bring Cryer over, who is another shooter. And Jamal Shedd is, I think, a little bit more. See, to me, the issue that I have with Houston, can they win, like, just like Kentucky? Yeah. Can they win 85-80? Well, they won one of those games like yesterday. It's like the opposite of Kentucky, where I know Kentucky can win 85-80, but can they win 62-60? Houston loves to win more like 52-50, frankly.
That's their wheelhouse.
But that's the issue that I have with Houston. Can they play the stretch games that Kentucky wants to play? Like, Kentucky-Houston in the Sweet 16 would be like the perfect dichotomy of styles. But I do think Houston's better, because I think Jamal Shedd's capable of handling last tie game, 10 seconds, he's wants that ball. Where I think last year, maybe he was not ready for that moment. This year, I think he's a little more polished.
Yeah, maybe he was deferring to Marcus Sasser last year and all that stuff.
Absolutely.
And we saw Shedd do it yesterday, last night.
Absolutely.
It was like game on the line, tied up, and he goes ahead and gets the game-winning bucket with 0.4 seconds to go there. How about so the two seeds right now at Bracket Matrix are Tennessee, North Carolina, Marquette, and Kansas. No surprise to anybody. But if I took away those top eight teams, so the one seeds and the two seeds, so you can't bet on any of the one seeds, and you can't bet on Tennessee, North Carolina, Marquette, or Kansas, three on down, who do you think has the best chance, or who would you have the most trust to win six games come tournament time?
Iowa State.
No hezzy on the Cyclones.
Iowa State.
Tell me why.
If they win the Big 12 tournament, they will be a two seed, I think. Balance, offensively, they're better. Their road wins in the Big 12 are impressive this year. I think they've got a coach that understands how to win in March. They've won in March before with this coach. And I just think offensively they're a little bit better than they've been in prior years, where that's been an issue for them. So I think Iowa State, I think the Big 12 is the best, obviously the best conference in America. And I think there are some middling teams in that conference that we probably aren't giving enough respect to because of just how grueling it is. And I think Iowa State's one of those teams.
Do they have enough firepower offensively?
Probably not, but you're getting past the two line. So you're going to have warts. There's going to be warts everywhere.
That's a fair question. Right now, Iowa State 20-1 to win the NCAA tournament over at DraftKings. They're really good. Obviously, they're the number two defensive team just behind Houston there. And Houston's like number one, like all the metrics damn near. Yeah, I don't know where I would go, honestly, past the two line. I think, do you just take a flyer on someone like Duke or Creighton or one of those kind of teams?
I think Duke would be my second choice in that department.
Yeah, they got it. Filipowski's a guy, and they're a young team. Maybe they can be ascending. Proctor's been hurt. So
I like
maybe
Shire a lot, too, as a coach.
Seems like he's a really good coach. So it gets a little dicey once he goes past those one and two seeds. All right, Will Hill joins us next year on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abefefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This week on DraftKings Sportsbook, new customers can deposit $5 and get a no-sweat bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet loses. Download the app and use promo code VSIN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. We're rolling along here on this Sunday morning on the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe alongside Jared Smith here for you guys 2 weeks prior to Selection Sunday. And to help us break down some college hoops, we're bringing in our buddy Will Hill, VSiN contributor, host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast. Make sure you get it wherever you get your podcast. Also contributes to the Bear Bets podcast over at Fox Sports. Will, what's going on, man? Good morning. How are we doing today?
What's up, boys?
Looks like we have some
we needed to get here, man. This regular season.
All right, let's call Will back. Let's redial Will back up there
because
he was Domo Arigato, Mr. Roboto on that one. We'll go ahead and call him back. Some technical difficulties there, but it seems like Will's having a good time. Though, I mean, how could you not be as a better there with the time of the year that it is? We get the NBA slate coming up today. We got college hoops going rapid fire as we approach Selection Sunday. Champ Week is always a fun time. I mean, we here in Vegas,
championship
so many tournaments
week is better. So here's my hot take: championship week's better time to come to Vegas than the tournament.
It is. I agree with that hot take. More and, space, and more games, wrong, a lot of fun.
The tournament's awesome. The first 2 days are awesome. Championship week is a whole week, people. Monday yes. through Friday and Saturday, Sunday, obviously, too. But, I mean, after the third or fourth day in Vegas, usually that's when the law of diminishing returns starts to come into effect a little bit.
Yeah, no, it's championship week, I think, is a whole lot of fun because it's like awesome. You get more games.
Yep.
And you can pull up at any sports book, sit down. There's space everywhere because everyone's gearing up for March Madness week. But those Thursday, Fridays, they are fun as hell. Like,
it's a
great time.
I'll put this whole month
it's
up.
It's a great time.
I'll put this whole month up again. Any other month in sports. I honestly think this is the best month in sports.
Yeah, no, it's a great time there. So it's a whole lot of fun as well. I think we're gonna be calling Will on the phone to get Will and some of his college basketball gets. He's got a few of them. He also has some NFL division bets over at DraftKings because DraftKings put up those division odds. We had a fun exercise on Live Bet Saturday yesterday, myself and Mike Palm looking at it, like trying to guess the division. We put up the odds and didn't put up the team names, and it was guess the division.
I like
it
that.
Was a really fun game with our producer Brian Ortega. He put it together,
man,
there.
Brian he was theatrical.
Cooking. He was cooking, man.
Yeah, no, that's one of Brian's better gifts there. No,
he was cooking. So it's those division odds, they start to populate.
That's cool.
Win totals, they won't populate until like round like once after
we
free agency.
We need the schedule
before
really.
The draft and all that stuff.
I won't bet win totals until I see a schedule.
It's like they'll start to populate probably I'd say month and a half or so from now, but right now we have the division odds. I mean, all the award stuff is already up there, so it's like
I don't have any interest in
but
that.
But it's so long to cash those tickets.
Agreed.
To where it's like there's no point in betting it out. I mean, all my biggest awards bets were all made like around December.
Yep.
So it just goes
to
show
Lamar
you that
Jackson MVP the narrative stuff. December 10th, I think. Right, but like right before they made that stretch run, and you know, you kind of saw the opportunity. Right. I need to see a path.
Yeah.
With these awards markets, because it's so narrative driven, it is impossible to see a path before we have free agency, draft, schedule, all the offseason stuff. We have to see that first.
All right. I believe we have reconnected with our buddy Will Hill via phone right now. Will, if you're just joining us right now, VSiN contributor, also host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast, and also contributes to the Bear Bets podcast as well. Well, let's get right to your plays. Michigan and Ohio State. This one later on this afternoon, 1 o'clock West Coast time, 4 o'clock Eastern. What do you like in the game total sitting at 143.5 and the Buckeyes 11-point favorites?
Yeah, I like Michigan here. I just think this is too many points. Ohio State has had a nice little resurgence under this interim coach, but I think a rivalry game will bring the best out of Michigan. Still a fairly talented Michigan team. It's interesting. They're going to have a new coach next year. Maybe Ohio State has a new coach next year because some of these big jobs are going to be opening up, whether it's these two, Louisville, maybe Indiana down the road. But to me, this is just too many points late in the year, conference game, rivalry game. I think we'll see a tighter game. I think this line is a little bit inflated, so I'll take the Michigan plus the 11 points.
So the Seton Hall UConn game is interesting because I think narratively speaking, UConn probably just trying to, you know, collect themselves and get ready for the tournament. But this is a revenge game because Seton Hall won this game against UConn earlier this season. But that does not deter you at all when betting on the Pirates today.
it's a revenge game. They are certainly taxing you for the fact that it's a revenge game, because 15 is a lot. I think we're up to 15 in some spots. Wouldn't be shocked if it closes like 15 and a half. I don't know if we'll get to a 16, but people are going to say, hey, UConn, they lost last time. They're going to be out for payback. They're going to win by 20 plus. And they certainly might. I mean, it's never fun to step in front of this UConn train. It's never a good feeling to, you know, to fade them, but this is just a lot of points. Seton Hall's on the bubble. Seton Hall, you know, obviously if they won this game, I think that would put them over the top in terms of getting in. And Holloway's done well against Hurley. Seton Hall, like I mentioned, they beat him earlier in the year. They beat him last year. And even when St. Peter's played UConn, when Holloway was the St. Peter's coach, they played like a 10-point game in December of 2019. Holloway's defenses are very physical. They bump people off the ball. They bump the cutter. So I think Seton Hall will try to make this a grind it out, grindy type of game, slow it down, keep it close. It's just a lot of points. They are really taxing. I know, Jared, you bet a lot of college basketball on Femi. I think you do too. They are really taxing you for home court,
yes,
revenge. I mean, Bama got up to -4.5 last night against Tennessee, yeah, opened 1.5 too. It's just, they are really daring you sometimes to bet the road team, especially if they're coming off revenge. So I guess I'll take the bait here and take the dog.
Yeah.
Well, I asked this question to Jared a couple segments ago, and I want to ask it to you because I think it's really interesting. If I gave you the four number one seeds, the projected one seeds right now at Bracket Matrix, Purdue, UConn, Houston, and Arizona, would you take the four one seeds to win the title, or would you take the field? Both Jared and I went with the one seeds. Where would you go?
Yeah, I'd go with the ones. I think in order to make that more enticing, you have to chop it in half, or at least give me three of the four, and then I'd have to think about it where it's like, if I only got UConn, Houston, and maybe, I don't know, Purdue, then it's more of a fair fight. But I do feel like the title, as wide open as it is after the top, I do feel like the title probably comes from one of those like four or five teams. Obviously, hey, a Creighton could win. I guess a Kentucky could string together six wins if they played enough defense, but it's probably, I would probably rather be on the side of getting the ones. I get UConn, I get Houston, and I get the other two ones. I wouldn't be shocked if Tennessee sneaks the one seed. Like, I think it's dead even right now, Tennessee, Arizona, for that final one. I think if they both went out, it's a coin flip. And if either one loses, they might lose the one seed. And I think sometimes we talk maybe too much about who's the one, who's the two. I don't know that it matters a ton. Your draw matters more than the number before you. But I do think that the three ones are locked in, UConn, Purdue, Houston. Those are pretty much set in stone. And then it comes down to Tennessee and Arizona for the fourth one.
Wasn't UConn a four last year?
Yep.
Yeah. And that, and the seeding, right, Will? And we'll talk about a lot of this kind of trend and analysis stuff with the seedings over the next couple of weeks. We need to see the bracket first, and then we'll get some numbers. But the seedings don't matter, especially when like the lower seeded team is favored. We see that all the time in college basketball. But your point is very well taken about the situational tax. Wisconsin yesterday was a perfect example. No business being a 3.5-point favorite against Illinois, who is clearly the better team. Do you think we're going to see that tax become even more expensive when we get to March Madness because of obviously the profile of the games get the spotlights bigger?
I'm not sure, just because I think a lot of it is home court, and obviously in the tournament, all these games are neutral for the most part. Although UConn, a big advantage for UConn, they're probably going to have to play or get to play their first four games if they're in the East. The first two are in Brooklyn, and then the regional after that is in Boston. So they are going to have a nice little home court. Yeah, it's going to be set up well for them. It's going to be tough to beat them when they're a couple hundred miles from their campus. But I do think a lot of it is home court. There's it's become public that, hey, the home teams never lose, the home team versus the unranked team, all that stuff. And they're daring people to bet the road team, which I understand. I mean, it's making you bet the road team. I remember there was a New Mexico, Colorado State game a couple weeks ago where it got up to like 8.5, where it's like, man, these teams are pretty much even and you're making it 8.5. I mean, they're making home court worth 5.5, 6.5 points in some of these spots. It's just, it's a lot.
Will, before we let you get out of here, we got about a minute left here. You like the first half total in this Indiana-Maryland game. Which side are you going on?
Maryland-Indiana first half under 64. Maryland is just one of these sneaky under teams. They play really good defense, and they cannot shoot a lick. Under 6 threes made per game. Indiana can't shoot 5 threes made per game. So I don't like dealing with the full game under because then you have to deal with fouls, the possibility of overtime. But first half under 64 I do think is a good bet.
And real quick here in about 20 seconds, you said you have a couple division plays in the NFL. These numbers just got posted at DraftKings. What do you like?
Bengals plus 170, I think, is a little too long. I have my reason, but we'll go into it in a further spot. And then Vikings, if they get Cousins back at plus 450, that's just a bet on them getting Cousins, because if they get Cousins back, that number should not be plus 450.
Totally agree.
Yeah. Now, I was talking with Mike Palm about that number yesterday. I was like, why are the Vikings longer than the Bears in that division?
The Lions are eating up all the equity, too. Yeah. I think they might be, and I love the Lions, but you're right. Minnesota's got value there if Cousins comes back.
100%. We'll find that out maybe in about a week or so with the free agency beginning. Legal tampering in 8 days. He is Will Hill. Check him out across the network here at VEASAN. Also, the Should Have Bet More podcast, as well as the Bear Bets podcast as well. Will, thanks for the time, buddy. Be well.
All right, see you, boys. Thanks for having me.
Good stuff there from our buddy Will Hill. That does it for hour number one. Hour number two, we'll start to look at today's slate in hopes here on the Lombardi Line.